You're listening to New Hampshire Now.
Welcome back here on New Hampshire Now, 109-1450 and ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by Riverbend, caring for the behavioral health of the community by offering professional counseling services to help individuals, couples, and families make positive changes. For information, go to RiverbendCMHC.org. Appreciate joining us for the New Hampshire Now program. I am Chris Ryan. Coming up just a little bit here on the program, my conversation with Roger Clemens, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, still excluded from the National Baseball Hall of Fame, but it seems like the trajectory of the voting has changed a little bit, and Clemens may be headed to the Hall soon. Red Sox are in sole possession of first place in the American League East after their 9-2 victory last night in a game that had multiple rain delays. First, the game was delayed by 50 minutes to start, then another hour and 15 minutes during the game, and ended up, you know, if you consider the entire time, the game was scheduled to start at 7:10. It ended around 12:40. So 5.5 hours of baseball for me last night, plus a lot of watching the rain and the storms at Fenway Park. But it was worth it for the Red Sox as they got a big win behind Drew Pomeranz, who actually came back out after the rain delay. 5 innings of work for him, no runs allowed. He now has 7 wins on the season. He'll get another start before the Sox hit the halfway point of the season on Sunday. So he has the potential to be, you know, a 16-game winner for the Red Sox this year. He talked about coming back out after the rain delay.
Kind of crazy, you know, I didn't even realize that it was supposed to rain at all tonight. And we found out like about 2 minutes before I was about to go out and get ready for a normal start time. And just kind of waited around, and then I didn't know there was a second cell coming either, I guess. So, you know, I just went down. We didn't know how long we were going to wait. Tried to stay loose down there after the second inning, kind of in the cage, just running back and forth. And we kind of said, like, you know, if it's more than an hour, or maybe I said, you know, if it's past 10 o'clock, it might be kind of iffy. And then, of course, it was 10 o'clock start time. And I was like, well, it's a hard decision to make. He put it right on the time when I said I wanted to go over after. But I felt pretty good. And, you know, Carl went out there with me as I warmed up, and I felt fine. I was through a couple times in between just to stay hot.
Sox scores 9-2 winners, home runs from Christian Vasquez, also threw out a base runner as well in the fifth inning of that contest, and also Chris Young went deep with a 3-run bomb. Also, Sox started this series against the Minnesota Twins, with the Twins being in first place in the AL Central, so it was an interesting matchup of two more games at Fenway Park. Had a chance to talk also with former Red Sox pitcher Roger Clemens, who was at Fenway yesterday and will be there once again today.
Joined by the great Roger Clemens, number 21 for the Boston Red Sox. What brings you back to Boston? I understand your son's playing the Cape League.
Yeah, my youngest one, Cody's going to play in the Cape. And then, but we're here for the Jimmy Fund. We got a little charity batting practice tomorrow early with, I think, a group of 10 or 15 businessmen. I'm not really sure who the crowd's going to be, but really cool thing. Last year, I think in game, they kind of auctioned off batting practice at Fenway. We started this a couple of years ago. They have the big Jimmy Fund telethon, and instead of people just calling in, we put a package together where I throw batting practice here at Fenway, and 10, 12 lucky people get to come take batting practice. I mean, it's I love it.
So competitive do you get?
I throw them some really nice pies in there. I tease them that I'm a little wilder than I was in my younger days. You know, I don't have the control, and I tease them that they said any requirements, and I said, yeah, defibrillator and a lot of eyes.
That's pretty awesome. And I'm interested in your take on Chris Sale, what you've seen from him, obviously, yeah, in his time here in Boston and previous. Is he's putting up an historic season?
Yeah, I do a little work with Houston, obviously, so I watch a lot of our guys down there at home, and thank goodness for TiVo, because I can TiVo the games and watch the guys pitch. You know, over a two-hour game, I can bust it down to about 20 minutes and watch some of the really good things. And fortunately, I've been able to watch Sale pitch, and you know, I just like his poise. I like his focus on the mound, a lot of determination, you know, a lot of passion. I just see that in his eyes when he pitches. His stuff is fantastic. Comes at you from a lot of different angles. And the last time I saw him throw, when he was out there throwing, he actually took, it was like a slurve. He took a little bit off his tight slider, yeah, and started making it more of a slurve and bringing it back door to righties, which was pretty fun to see somebody be creative like that.
Outside of the changing arm angles, it seems like you're almost describing yourself or any, you know, great big game elite major league pitcher that we've seen over the course of time. Is there that commonality amongst guys like yourself and Pedro and Chris Sale, that determination that they have each performance, that focus, the ability to execute pitch after pitch?
Yeah, you hit it dead on. I mean, I enjoy watching guys that have a passion to do it year after year, not just a couple years. And they know to be great, you have to make small adjustments in your game sometimes, because these hitters at this level are very good. I tell even my youngest that guys in the big leagues can put wood on a bullet. They're that good. And just to see the different types of pitchers that you have that have staying power, if you will, mm-hmm. and being able to do it, not just 1 or 2 years, but being able to do it 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, get 10 years in the league, being dominant, that's pretty special.
So for you, obviously, there was the first stint here with Boston, but the time after that, where you have the most pride about the continuation of your career and the ability to change, even, you always had a great fastball, but to change the focus and kind of evolve. How did you see yourself doing that, per se, in the Blue Jays years and the Yankees years, with your second coming?
Well, I just had a great routine. When I came out of the University of Texas here in Boston, I had a fantastic routine. I was fortunate that really my mechanics were solid. No pitching coach really tinkered and messed with my mechanics. I had a great pitching coach here in Boston that I still visit with, Bill Fisher. And I think Fish and all the guys, even when I played in the Bob Hope tournament, somebody like Yogi Berra, I would have loved to have the opportunity to play when Yogi was playing, to throw to Yogi or Johnny Bench. Yogi gave me one of the best compliments you could ever give, saying that, hey, kid, you could have pitched in our era. And so all that's meaningful. But, again, I was a power pitcher. I wasn't a power thrower, right. And it's a big difference. You right. see a lot of throwers here and they can't get through the lineup second time, maybe third time. So it's real important to understand that even when you don't have your 95-mile-an-hour fastball, if you're 90, 91, it's good enough to get people out. And I had a good breaking ball. And, of course, second half of my career, I put my split into play. I had a devastating split finger. It made me a lot of money, and it was just a devastating pitch. I learned it a long time ago. I learned it in 1986 when I was a youngster here in Boston. I learned it from Mike Scott, who I mm-hmm. held a golf tournament with in Houston. But I knew how to throw it. I just didn't need it in my pitch repertoire, to be able to put that into play till later in my career.
The split with the Yankees was really, your key pitch.
I had it in Toronto, too. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I had it. And, like I said, with the TV and the Sports Center and everything, they might show, 8, 10, 12 strikeouts, and, 8 of them or 9 of them were with the split finger. So guys see it on the other side, and on the highlights, it ingrains it in their mind. I probably used it in a 120-pitch game, 115-pitch game. I might have featured it probably 20 times, maybe.
Finally, I mean, you are, without question, one of the greatest pitchers of all time, but have yet to been invited to Cooperstown. Do you see that happening in the future? Do you see that kind of getting to a point of which where there's going to be a recognition?
Yeah, I didn't play the game to worry about making it to Cooperstown. If it ever happens, you just have a lot of people that, a lot of your teammates that would never have the chance to get there, that you owe them a big thank you and a big hug to, mm-hmm. because they're paving the way for you. It's kind of a, pump your chest, me type deal, and I've never been like that. So if that happens, I have no control. I've answered it a million times, but I have zero control over that. And again, like I said, I didn't play the game that I love to play to make it there. I wanted to be able to take my first couple of years, make some money, and take care of my family, and then after that, it was about winning championships.
That's Roger Clemens. This is New Hampshire Now, 1-9-14-15, ConcordNewsRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now, presented by Riverbend Community Mental Health, and this segment of the program brought to you by Orange Leaf Frozen Yogurt at 70 North Main Street in Concord, a convenient location for your next business meeting, offering 16 different flavors of frozen yogurt as well as smoothies in a relaxed environment. Orange Leaf at 70 North Main Street in Concord. We'll come back with more on New Hampshire Now after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now on WKXL.
St. Paul the persecutor was a cruel and sinful man. Jesus hit him with a blinding light, and then his life began. I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. Augustine knew temptation. He loved women, wine, and song. And all the special pleasures of doing something wrong. I said, yeah. I said, yeah.